Beltline, Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, restoring our values or weakening our efforts in the war on terror. We'll talk with retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis about the Obama administration's decision to release previously classified memos from the Bush administration about our interrogation policies. What have we learned about the techniques used? Do they really constitute torture? And what will it mean for our efforts in the war on terror now that the information that was once classified has been made public? We'll talk with Colonel McGinnis about these and other questions. Also in this edition, persecution in Somalia and North Korea. Over the past couple weeks, we've heard a lot about the lack of a real central government in Somalia. What does that mean for the distinct Christian minority in that country? And what are the latest developments for the persecuted Christian church in North Korea, the worst persecutors in the world? We'll talk with Jerry Dykstra of Open Doors USA, who will also tell us about efforts here in Washington in the coming days to draw attention to the plight of Christians in North Korea. Plus, here come the regulations. We'll talk with Marlo Lewis of the Competitive Enterprise Institute as the Environmental Protection Agency says it plans to regulate greenhouse gases. What will that mean for you and the economy? All that, plus our fun with the Capitol Steps and our top stories at week's end are straight ahead. We begin with Obama's decision on the CIA memos, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Colonel Bob McGinnis, U.S. Army retired. We want to get his thoughts as the Obama administration releases the details of Bush administration memos regarding interrogation policies. The president has decided to release the memos, but not prosecute any CIA agents who may have taken liberties with their interrogation techniques that he considers torture. And Colonel, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
First of all, what do you make of the president releasing the memos? We'll get to the contents in a moment, but just the decision to release some of the debates and the policies that were developed in terms of what was and what was not acceptable in terms of interrogation.
Well, we're at war, and it's a strategic mistake on the part of the president to release details as to how we will address would-be or confirmed terrorists who may have information that could lead us to stop pending attacks. So I find it unacceptable completely.
What do you see as the enemy potentially taking advantage of here? Those who defend the decision say that most of these techniques, if not all of them, had been discussed prior, so the enemy probably already knew most of the contents here. So what disturbs you about what they may learn as a result of this?
There's a distinction between knowing for certain what your enemy is going to do and suspecting what your enemy is going to do. Just because the media has speculated about how we have treated and managed to get information from certain detainees and POWs or whatever does not necessarily mean that's what happened. So they've removed any doubt. And so this will prepare would-be terrorists, people that are preparing to do terrible things to our country, and their minions to kind of steal their minds to developing techniques to overcome what they may face if incarcerated. So I just think that it's bad form, bad tactics, bad strategy for the administration until this war is over to go any further.
By several different accounts, we were able to get some actionable intelligence out of some high-ranking figures like Abu Zubaydah and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in terms of using some relatively intense interrogation techniques. Does that suggest that what we were doing was working, or is it too hard to tell on the basis of just a couple of accounts?
Of course, it's hard to tell from what the media has exposed, but clearly we've had actionable intelligence from these people that have resulted in stopping activities that are intended to kill or maim Americans and their interests, both at home and abroad. And we continue to incarcerate people and capture people abroad in the war zones, either in Afghanistan or in Iraq and elsewhere in the world. The problem that we face is not knowing who's going to strike next. And so you're constantly on the alert looking for clues to suggest what dastardly deeds some of these terrorists may want to pull off. So it's absolutely essential that we not encumber our intelligence activities. And unfortunately, I think any revelation of our techniques, our intentions, or whatever could help the enemy. And we don't want to do that.
Colonel, from your experience and just your observation of what's going on in terms of the war on terror and our interrogation techniques, what we're reading about in these memos are techniques such as slapping. Obviously, there was two or three incidences of waterboarding, which simulates drowning, but in reality, the person's life is not in danger. Sleep deprivation, perhaps some loud music on occasion. And the thing that's getting tons of attention is that Abu Zubaydah was placed in a confined space with, I believe, a caterpillar. In terms of what's over the line and what's not over the line, where do you stack up some of those techniques?
Well, those techniques they seem to be rather benign to me, but given what goes on in the world, they certainly aren't as nearly as egregious as a lot of what I'm aware of with many of our allies and many of our enemies. Clearly, if you think that you're going to drown, that can be pretty compelling. But if you know that the Americans only go so far, and that these are Americans applying it, then you put up with the discomfort. That doesn't mean that there aren't some people that were persuaded that they weren't going to stop at a particular point. Once again, people need to put into perspective that when you live in the United States, you're protected by not only oceans, but by a lot of valiant men and women who are across this world willing to give up their lives in order to keep the bad people from coming to our shores. And if we take away tools, whether actual tools or implied tools, from their tool chest, and therefore undermine their potential effectiveness, then I think we hurt our whole cause. This war will continue, and it has been going on since 2001, arguably before that. And if we continue exposing our sources of information and our techniques, our what I call TTP, tactics, techniques, and procedures, then we jeopardize our overall effectiveness. And I really shudder to think that the administration is going to, in the name of whatever, expose these techniques and perhaps others in the future.
What do you believe we learned about the judgment of the Bush administration from what we've learned in these memos and through other sources?
After 9/11, I think most of us had no idea what we were facing. We saw those airplanes crash into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. We saw the terror in the eyes of so many Americans. We saw our stock market plummet. We saw shuddering across the world. And so, President Bush, called us to action. He sent us to war. There were some tough times. And I think for the most part, certainly in Iraq, arguably not associated necessarily with 9/11, but indirectly, we're beginning to see some results. But when he said, the axis of evil, we see today the continuation of the problems with North Korea, which is a terrorist sponsor and a proliferator. We see the terrorist sponsorship of the Iranians and their continuing intimidation of that entire part of the world. And, of course, we see what's happening in all of Africa, the pirates, Al-Qaeda, in various places of turmoil, and, of course, elsewhere. So I suppose when you look in hindsight, it would have been nice to know a lot more than we did back in 9/11, but the Bush administration didn't, and they think they did their best call. I think for the most part they did a pretty good job, but now we come to a different era, a different administration. They disagreed with some of the ways in which President Bush proceeded, but I think 30, 40 years from now, history is going to be a different judge, and they're going to say, well, we should have kept on what we were doing. Otherwise, I fear that things could begin to unravel and reverse our forward momentum.
Couple minutes left here with Colonel Bob McGinnis. And Colonel, what the president said right after being sworn in, when he said the U.S. does not torture and we are going to follow the policies of interrogation, the Army Field Manual. Do you believe that the Army Field Manual has the parameters that will allow us to be successful in getting valuable information out of those in our custody?
Well, certainly over the years, the Army has put together some techniques that are pretty persuasive. And for the most part, I think that for the types of people that we typically bring in as prisoners of war, they apply to. I'm not so sure, though, that they necessarily are all that effective against some of these hardened criminals and hardened terrorists, people that have been basically brainwashed to be jihadists, willing to kill for whatever, whoever, and whenever they believe to be the righteous way. So that's a tough question. In traditional war, yes. In untraditional war, such as what we're fighting in some parts of this world, that's a little more difficult because these are tough criminals and they don't break very easily, or tough terrorists, they don't break very easily.
About a minute to go now, Colonel, and many are saying that Obama kind of split the difference here. A lot of liberals have said that he did not decide to prosecute agents who they believe went over the line. What would have been the impact on the intelligence community if Obama had, in fact, decided to go in that direction?
Well, clearly the morale would have sunk, and we would have, I think, further jeopardized our security. You know, people that are in dire situations where their lives are on the line, in overseas environments where most Americans have never gone, they have to make some tough decisions. They want to save their own life and those that they're sworn to up to support and to protect, and to do what the Constitution calls them to do, to obey the president. Had the president gone overboard and said that we'll prosecute these guys, we really would have been in serious jeopardy. Hopefully, you know, in time, when he matures in the job, he'll recognize that there's some pretty bad characters out there that, you know, you just can't handle with kid gloves. And if you do, yeah, it's going to come back to bite you. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Colonel, unfortunately, that'll need to be the last word. Thank you, sir, so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis, this is Dateline Washington.